Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Prepare at last his return. Your behavior our Savior discerns. I'll slay you in the end, my friend.
Hello and welcome to Tribulation Farce, a Left Behind reread podcast. We dig in so deep into that juicy Left Behind goodness so you don't have to. This is Book 2, Tribulation Force. Jennifer, how are you?
I'm good. We actually just recorded a little special thing for our Patreon because we just finished The Sopranos this past weekend. So we talked about The Sopranos.
So here we are yet again. Episode 2 of Book 2. Things are heating up. We're in it now, as they say.
Yep.
What did you think overall of these boys? And let's say, real quick, apologies for the late release. We had a wedding and a charity stream, which was really, really fun.
A 24-hour charity
yes.
stream.
Yes.
We were not on it for all 24 hours, but we were involved in it.
I was only on it for 12, but...
for three.
You can head over to geeklyinc.com/Trevor and you can still donate whenever you're listening to this.
Yeah. And to the Trevor Project to support LGBTQI youth. Now more than ever, guys.
Now more than ever. You know, as I say every year.
2023 gets worse every year.
Shit sucks.
So, the Geekly charity stream is a very cool thing. Mm-hmm. We have over the past 9 years raised over $100,000 for charities, which is a lot.
Yeah. So
anyway, all that to say, you can't be mad at us.
You can't be mad.
So late, we were busy.
Mad. If you're mad at us, we'll post a picture of the frogs. And say, you cuss these frogs.
You've cussed these beautiful gay frogs out that are boyfriends, and they're here in the Discovery Place
I think
in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Should point out that the gay frogs were at the wedding.
They were at our friend's wedding. They were not at the charity stream. No.
Anyways, apologies. Let's get back on topic. Big chunk today.
It was there was a lot of sermon stuff happening, a lot of Bible stuff happening. And
I have an update.
Okay.
I finally got my library card to work.
Oh, good. So you're reading like a legit version now?
I'm reading a legit version. It's interesting because would it surprise you, dear listener and co-host and wife, that the Amazon underlined, you know, in Kindle, they like
underlined. Oh, yeah.
They always motherfucking highlight, underline the Bible verses.
Oh my
it's
God.
It's just, I mean, all these
so
people are like,
funny.
I like this
wow,
one.
Wow, that's from the Bible.
This one's from the Bible. And I just rolled my eyes
oh
after
my
the
God.
Third one.
That's hilarious.
I was like, this is so dumb. Shout out to the St. Louis Public Library and the strange confusion why every 2 weeks this guy keeps renting. Like, he cannot get through this goddamn book.
Yeah, he has to keep checking out Left Behind.
I will say, I am so tempted to kind of do a, I don't know what, but like, I want to listen to the audiobook.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's how I listened to it as a kid.
Oh, man. We should, you should definitely listen.
Let's drive from Florida to Tennessee and listen to it, Jennifer. Let's do it, baby.
That sounds like hell.
Yeah, but
no, thank you.
These episodes get into the shit that I know and love. But the thing that I want to point out before we get really into it is, what did you think about how much of a dick Bruce was?
Oh my God, what is his deal, man? He has like no social graces whatsoever.
Right. Is that what they're trying to say? Is that the Pastor Bruce is just like kind of an oafish?
I think so.
Dumb.
And they're always like, he looks bad.
He looks bad.
He looks like shit. He looks older than
he looks
is.
Like
he's slipping in the church in his office.
He looks like those like unkempt Bernie Sanders memes.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. In my mind.
But, like, once again, I'm asking you to read Ezekiel.
He really is, like, he has, like, well, and I even, like, I have some quotes from it because it was really so, like, abrupt sometimes.
You know, much like our Sopranos podcast, do we need to get into, like, Pastor Barnes is autistic.
I was like, should I say this out loud? Because he really does. He just says the exact thing he needs to say and does not cushion it at all.
You can't yell at us. Jennifer's autistic.
I am autistic.
And
so
whenever
you can't yell at me.
We say that if a character is being a prick,
yeah, okay. But listen, this is the thing. Like, I'm not equating being autistic and being an asshole. I'm equating like being direct in a certain way that people interpret as being an asshole. Like. That I don't think it's necessarily being an asshole.
Yeah,
like,
no, for sure.
To be direct, like,
well,
if someone
asks you for help, and like, what would I do?
Yeah, I mean, like, right? He's truly just answering the question. Like,
I don't think he's autistic.
I don't think they meant him to be. But I'm gonna keep an eye out now because I was thinking about that also. He's no Polly Walnuts.
Yeah, we have it in mind, and like we said, you know. We did an hour Sopranos podcast.
Yeah, so. And where I talked about Polly Walnuts being autistic, and I'm right. In my defense, I was diagnosed about 2 years ago, and like pretty – like
you were watching Sopranos, and you said, that's me.
And I said, that's me. No, there was – the thing that I'm like very proud of is there was a girl that was on The Bachelor. She was like a contestant, a girl that was like trying to win The Bachelor tournament. I'm like, she's real autistic to me. And then she came out – her name's Demi. And she's like, I'm autistic. And that's right because I can see it because I am that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I've even like said that much to people, but hey, guess what?
Yeah, we've had a lot of jokes cut out of other podcasts.
Yeah, because we've at least like straight up said it. Well, because people are weird about it.
Well, it's less straight up saying it, more like I say something mean to you.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we should cut this out. And like, you're right.
Like, well, but yeah.
But yeah, but anyway. Yeah. But anyways, this is just us, you know, husband and wife together.
Yeah, we're just talking, you know.
There's no shrapnel to be had.
No.
Exactly.
It just is.
Second book, chapter 3.
So Buck goes to visit Bruce Barnes at the church. And, okay, this is another, like, consistent theme that keeps coming up. Buck being like, there's a lot more hugging between dudes than I'm used to amongst these guys, these Christians.
Yeah, and Rayford says it too later.
Yes, they both do because it's like that is such a weird, like, Christian dude. They love hugging each other and being like, hey, brother, and, like, putting their arm on his shoulder.
Yeah, is that what they're doing? Like, I'm not saying that in a skeptical way. I'm saying it more in a kind of baffled way. Because, again, you have to take everything, not just from what they're doing in the book, but what the author intended,
like,
and what the audience intended, or for what the author intended and for the intended audience.
Yeah.
Because these books are for Christians and then to trick other non-Christians. But
right, theoretically.
Like, are they saying, ha, 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 look at the godless men who don't hug each other?
I don't know. I think it's more like, all right, Christian men out there, I know you think hugging other dudes is gay, but yeah. Actually, you gotta develop masculine friendships
but like,
through the Lord.
I feel like...
Because, like, Promise Keepers is, like, so like that. It was all about, like, getting in touch with, like, your feelings
and
shit.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So, yeah. I think there's a specific... Because I think that Promise Keepers was, like, still pretty hopping around this time when this book would have come out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's, like, a very specific, like, archetype of Christian dude. Who's like, I'm a man, but I'll cry.
Yeah, maybe bugging. I was doing a light, anachronistic sort of reading to it, meaning my dad is super touchy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he exists in this period. So, that being said, he is a product of this period.
Exactly. That's why he is that way. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's the thing. Whereas now, I feel like there's a much more like, I only eat meat and like livers and stuff. And
yeah.
I'm a man. I'm red.
I know that like.
My skin's real red.
I take supplements and I'm red.
I take supplements and I get them straight from Alex Jones.
Again, like, we had a very brief conversation about this with our buddies and during the wedding. And it's like, again, that kind of like joke of like, you guys have this podcast, you say what you say, but, you know, you still have Christian friends.
Right,
and then,
right,
like, one of our friends, shout out Catherine, was kind of made a joke about that. And it's like, and I was like, and I didn't mean this to be mean, but, like, and I hope it didn't come off that way, of, like, our friend Kristen is who I think of when I think of a Christian who is cool. Because
because
it was like, Catherine made a joke about it. It was like, yeah, I know Kristen. because like, it kind of came up one time, you know, like we've talked about before, where like we were all drinking whiskey and hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being like close to being blackout, being like, so you're a Christian?
Like, you like believe in God and stuff?
So all that to be said is like, I don't know what evangelicals are like now. I do know they all voted for Trump and they're all Trumpy. So it is a little weird.
I think they like like supplements and like multi-level marketing. Mm-hmm. And
but they all like drink their own piss now.
They love drinking their own piss. Like honestly, guys, I'm not fucking joking. It really is a thing that people drink their own piss.
And I guess I said that to say is like, so I was thinking about it today and I was like, I don't necessarily want to drive away all people who believe in God.
No.
Even though we do, our official stance is that religion should be illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of things should be illegal, though.
That's true.
I think it should be illegal for people under, like, 25 to be on Twitter.
I think it should be legal for these men to hug.
Yeah. You say legal or illegal?
Illegal.
Yeah, because I don't want them to have any, like, comfort or, like, happiness in their
but,
life.
But, like, I don't want this to be a thing that the cops can decide.
No, no, no. We should just be able to, like, boo them mm-hmm. if they're hugging.
And be like, you're a bitch. You can only hug men if you're at least bisexual.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're not, that's stolen valor for the queers, actually. You're doing queer baiting.
Yes.
your dude friends.
Oh, my God. That is so true.
Like, oh, look at you queer being.
Oh, now. Wow. Okay. next time I see two of my buds hugging, I'm going to say queer bait.
Queer bait, queer bait.
Even if they're both two homosexual men.
Yeah, like, you're queer bait. You're queer baiting me right now. Make out. Or you're queer baiting me.
What?
Oh, man. So anyway, Buck is going to visit Bruce for a couple of reasons, but the first thing that he brings up is that he feels pretty bad about introducing Hattie to the Antichrist. Like, seriously, yeah. He's like, yeah, I kind of feel like that was my bad that she is now the personal assistant to the Antichrist.
There's something that is so lucky for them in these books and that they can use spiritual guilt as plot points.
Yes, yes. Like, so, I felt a heaviness on my heart.
Exactly. It's like,
caused me to talk to this person about it.
Yeah,
thing.
But it's like, it's so rote and kind of like, boo, lazy. Like it's like third person narrator coming in and just be like, do this. But that's literally what the intent is, right?
Yeah.
And there is legally something interesting about that of like anyone who used to be a piece of shit. It's like, I can change.
Different. I feel bad about lying now.
Yeah. But this part is really funny.
Yeah, and like, obviously, we get into some deep misogyny, like, pretty off the bat. Tim, let's read back and forth. You read the Bruce part, and I'll read the Buck part.
I don't see how you could do it without putting yourself in danger, meaning going and telling
Right.
Hattie.
I'm sorry. Yeah, let's back up for a second. Because the whole thing is, Buck feels bad about introducing Hattie, and Buck feels like he needs to be like, yo, but you're working for the Antichrist?
Hey, here's the Bible. I know you think it's stupid.
Yeah.
But he's the Antichrist. He's going to sacrifice a pig on the altar.
Right. So Israel.
And since he feels so guilty, he goes to talk to Bruce, and Bruce is being really shitty.
I don't know what you should do. But that's the scene.
That's the scene setting for this
conversation.
And scene. I don't see how you could do it without putting yourself in danger. She's no doubt enamored with her new life already. She's gone from being a flight attendant to being the personal assistant to the most powerful man in the world.
Personal assistant? Who knows what else?
Bruce nodded. Probably so. I don't imagine he chose her for her clerical skills.
Like, guys, can you, like, go one fucking chapter without shitting on Hattie challenge? Impossible.
Just because she has a perfect rack.
Yeah, it's just, she has beautiful breasts and blonde hair and is hot as fuck.
Hot as fuck.
And hot enough for the Antichrist. Like, does it mean you need to be such a fucking hater? And she's, like, does not seem that stupid. Like, every time she's talked.
So
like, despite the author's, like, best, like, efforts to make her seem stupid.
I have to – that's true. Yeah, we did – about that a little bit. I did try to put myself in the time and place, so to speak, and I'm like, they're not wrong, you know.
I mean, like, flight attendant and like personal assistant are pretty different skill sets.
Can I rewind it?
Yeah,
I don't think they are different skill sets. Now that I to like go back against literally what me and you just said,
I think
there's so much about like they are different skill sets, but I think there's so much about
you
are. Dealing with an adult baby?
No. Okay, that part, yes. That is very real. I was thinking more like, does Hattie know how to do, like,
what's her outlook
pivot
like?
Tables? Like, does she know how to use SharePoint? Like, I don't know.
Good point.
But
yeah.
No, you're actually 100%. Like, the customer service aspect of it, if you've ever done, like, an admin-type job, like, number one, admins do not get paid enough money because
speak on that.
That shit, because, like, my role, I have been in an admin role before, and my current role sometimes gets mistaken for admin.
Well, you're a woman.
Because I'm a woman, mm-hmm. and I'm around many men at mm-hmm. my work, and mm-hmm. They like to have me take their notes and things.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah, and that's
2023, shit's still happening?
I literally just got off of a project that was a lot of bullshit.
Oh, we could go on.
And guys, I'm working with women now, and it's so nice.
Praise me.
I'm so glad. Anyway, yeah, they're super misogynist. It's like really wild how often it comes up. But yeah, Bruce and Buck are like, yeah, this is dangerous. Like, yeah. I don't, because the whole fear is that, okay, if Nikolai knew that Buck was not hypnotized, like, he would
I'm glad they talk about this.
He would have already blasted his ass. Like, yeah. He would have been like, and also Buck was hit. This bully hit three people.
I think.
this is the JFK imagine yeah. bullet. Listen, just trust it, okay?
Sometimes bullets take 5 days.
Yeah.
They go from New York yeah. and then they go to Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. So those bullets yeah. go in multiple directions back and forth.
But we talked about this a lot, and then I think you can probably follow some of my predictions being wrong in this book. It's not my fault, it's they're bad at writing. Yeah. And basically saying, like, you know, he probably, we're not sure that he knows.
He might be, like, a little, like, suspicious or, like, think, like, well, maybe he didn't, like, fully take. But there's no way that he fully thinks that Buck didn't,
right.
like,
and
pick
I believe
up on it.
In the last chunk, he was invited to go meet with him.
He was.
So
yes.
We're thinking, A, is that because he's trying to get murdered?
Right.
But in this, in kind of like there's obviously more than one thing happening. But there's like three-ish things happening and then five other things happening in these two chapters. It's yet again, Buck and Chloe, will they, won't they?
Yeah.
That part was really annoying.
Oh, my God. And this, like, the back and forth that was happening in these chapters was making me so mad.
Yeah.
Because it'd just be like a tiny chunk of a chapter just to be like, Buck called Chloe, but she wasn't there. And then she, like, fretted over yeah. how to respond back. And I'm like, I don't fucking care.
To use a term, they have backslid on Chloe for sure.
They backslid on Chloe, like, a lot. Chloe is not doing much interesting at all.
And the other chunk is this. Like, it's this on top of, because the impetus, so to speak, is he wants to go talk to Hattie to be like, yo, don't.
Like, don't, be careful, bro.
But also,
don't suck the dick of the Antichrist.
they also are trying to figure out how does he handle the situation. So
right.
it is the same plot point, and they are making it compelling by putting these two things together.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They do bring it up that, like, well, if you avoid it, then he's going to sure as shit know.
Right. Then he's suspicious.
And I think that goes along a little bit for us as the reader, who obviously Jennifer and I have consumed more of these books. So we love Nikolai and we think he's perfect. But,
I mean, he is.
You know, maybe at this point he's not as perfect. And
yeah, maybe he needs to up his game a little bit. He's still, like, honing him.
Maybe he thought that,
skills.
Like, Buck panicked so fast that he ran out of the room
yeah.
before he was able to complete the mind control.
Yeah, or maybe he just thought that, like, it was just, like, so upsetting to
right.
him that he was, like, frazzled from
right,
it or
exactly.
something.
And remember, everyone during the climax of the last book, when Nikolai kills those two dudes, freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
They see it. And
they see
it. And then they're like, don't shoot him.
Right.
And then they're like, isn't it fucked up he shot himself? Like, yeah,
right. Like, they slowly, like, after, like, Carpathia kind of goes around
yeah.
to them, right? It's like he's able to, you know, do the whole
yeah.
hypnotize thing.
Yeah, and I do think this is legally interesting, and I do think this
yeah,
is what
no,
is,
that, yeah, this is, like, the part that is interesting.
Yeah, and we're getting,
in addition to them talking about the Earth Movers and digging out the underground bunker in the previous
yeah,
chunk.
Yeah, which whipped. And they do kind of joke about it in these chapters where, like, Rafer's like, I cannot believe Chloe wants to hook up with a dude that's, like, best friends with the Antichrist.
I really funny that he is, like, kind of like, I don't know.
I don't
I'm
know
okay
about this.
With this. My little daughter
but
being with a man who's myth the Antichrist.
And I do think they are kind of, like, breaking the fourth wall of, like, we sure are the main characters of a book as
right,
fuck.
Right, right. People are like, what are the odds?
Wow, exactly. Like, Buck's like, I know it was pretty cool that I got assigned to Chicago, but what are the odds?
Yeah. But Buck at least, like, makes more sense that he's had these, like, interactions because
yeah.
he's a reporter.
And
so,
he's like the best boy, Buck.
And he's, yeah, he's the number one boy of the Global Weekly. Even
yeah.
they banished him to Chicago.
and you know, Bruce and Buck come to the conclusion that I think makes sense. And, you know, I agree with is if Carpathia thought Buck was not trustworthy, he would already be dead.
Yes, exactly.
So, and I think that it makes way more sense than anything else.
Yeah, that's like the – and Tim, this is where the logic of Bruce's mind is a real boon, because it's like, well, let's weigh it out. Probably this is most likely what has happened. Yeah, so now once they determine that, we flip over to Rayford and Chloe with a very like nothing.
I have chapter distinctions now. It's like a little loading thing. Oh. It's weird. Look, I can't quite tell what they're doing.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. We flip over to Rayford and Chloe for a second for like a very nothing segment where like
– these chapters are long.
They're long for like no reason.
Yeah.
Basically, all you need to know is that Chloe and Buck are playing like weird phone tag.
It sucks.
And like Rayford's like, why are you playing games with him? And I'm like, wait, were you not just telling her to like not answer the phone and like make him wait in the last chapter?
Yeah. Rayford is like, you know, obviously you want to play a blue-red deck in Magic the Gathering. And here you go trying to play a blue deck.
You fool.
You fool. You evil harpy. Which I agree with, by the way.
I don't like the game playing thing. That's no, I do feel like Chloe's for sure being like annoying and like very like juvenile about this.
And I do, you know, shout out to my friend Rayford, who throughout this chapter and the next is like, are you sure about that?
Yeah, sure about that.
Sure about that. And then later he's like, I ain't saying shit. And then Chloe's like, what?
Yeah. What? Yeah. So Chloe's a little bit frustrated with Rayford.
Yeah. And it's so the thing that they say with Chloe over this chunk, is how they justify, I guess, these games is that she still thinks that Buck is treating her like a little sister.
Yeah, this is like her being like prickly and defensive because she thinks he's maybe stringing her along a little bit or not actually into her.
Yeah, but like I have zero indication of that. No. Especially because their last interaction was Buck like, hey, you want to go hang out?
She's like, no. You want to go to she's being like really weird.
And he's like calling her like three. No, there's literally no. It's again, they just don't know how to write women and they don't.
They just got to make, they only know how to make them annoying because they think everyone is annoying.
Exactly.
Like that's all they know how to do. So I almost don't even want to like, there's like literally mini sections of this where it's like,
it's the third of these two chapters. It's
really stupid. Yeah. So I almost don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So let's get back to actually to Buck.
We said excitedly for the first time.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So yeah, we're back to Buck, who's still talking to Bruce about like, okay, like what do I do about my Carpathia situation? Because he wants to see me like ASAP, and I'm scared and I don't know what to do.
Yeah, and this part is really fun because it's such an, you know, I gotta give it up because it's like there are no Christians.
No.
The internet doesn't exist the way that we have the internet. So.
Yeah, you can't go to like Bible.com.
Exactly. And
into
the
forums on Bible.com.
And you know, it's so scary. In their world, they don't have Left Behind.
So they can't even, they only know from the pastor's VHS tapes. Yeah. So they kind of like talk it through and they're like, well, okay, obviously Carpathia's got some like woo-woo magic happening because Buck's like, listen, my boss Steve Plank is like a hard-nosed newsman, and he's fully convinced that it happened the way Carpathia said it. So the only way that's possible is by like weird magic, exactly. Basically.
And Bruce is like, you trust this guy? He's like, motherfucker, this guy is like intense.
He's the dude,
and Steve is completely on Carpathia Kool-Aid. I do love that they kind of say, I don't know if it's this part later, but they kind of like say, God damn it. I wish they outlined the Antichrist's powers in the Bible.
And that
just made me laugh so much because it kind of, to me, is such a thing that is like, it's cute for them to say it.
Yeah.
But it's also like, you're not going to figure it out later, dumbasses, because it's so fucking vague in the real Bible.
Right. It's like, maybe that should be a sign to you that they didn't spell that out.
Shut up.
Yeah, it's really silly.
Yeah.
But I love that Bruce is like, damn, bro, that sucks. I don't know what I would do, though.
Anyways,
good luck.
Eats giant mayonnaise sandwich. Yeah. Rubs greasy napkin on his face.
Am I gonna like end up standing Bruce because like honestly he's just like, bro, I'm up here teaching and sweating.
Because like, Bruce feels like he's a real person in this,
right? Like he's and a weirdo that his whole family got taken away. Yeah,
I don't know if you know this, but Bruce went through the rapture and is dealing poorly with
he's not doing well
while all these other people had like a day and a half, you're like, wow, man, I'm sniffing my bed. I'm good. I gotta learn how to fly a plane better.
Bruce is like, I'm sleeping in my office like every night.
I'm going freak mode.
Yeah. Like, what do you think he smells like?
I think they, I guess I don't know if they say it, but the implication is bad.
Yeah. I think he's like stinky. I think he has like carpet stains. He's got the like sweat stains around his neck.
Yeah. He looks like a stinky traveling salesman from like a yeah. B tier like 90s show. Like, I gotta catch the bus.
But in this case, he's just, like, obsessed with the Bible.
Yeah, which, good for him, because we need it, because, unfortunately, he gets to say the coolest shit.
Yeah, that is true. Then there's another riff for Chloe's section, which, again, is truly just about phone tag, and I hate it, so we're just going to skip it. Who cares? Then we cut over to Buck, who is at home working, and he's wrapping up. You know, remember the whole Global Weekly, like, mm-hmm. article mm-hmm. that he is writing mm-hmm. about, like, all the theories about why the disappearance happened. Yeah.
And again, it's important to lightly point out that even though he has been blacklisted into the hell that is Chicago,
yeah.
They still really want him to write this
piece. He's literally still, like, writing a cover story and for the Global Weekly in New York.
That was last chapter, right? Last two yeah. chapters? Yeah, yeah. And I still am kind of having whiplash on how much...
No, I know.
What's his nuts was on the side versus what's her
oh,
nuts.
Oh, yeah. Stan
Bailey.
I
want
to say
no,
Stan...
is that right?
No, that's Stan Bailey. Stanton. I was at Stan Beeman. That's Stan from the Beeman. Americans.
Oh, I love the Americans.
I miss Beeman. Yeah, so he...
They should make an Americans reboot with a daughter.
Oh, kind of nice to Americans again. I think it's actually on Hulu now. I saw it the other day.
The Americans like, are so. It makes me want to watch Perry Mason just because that guy's
I know, me too. Matthew, what's his face? Reese, I forget his name. Anyway, whatever the dude is. Yeah, so I want to dig into this Global Weekly piece because the way that it, Buck is talking about it in a few ways is just so revelatory about mm-hmm. the way that the authors think about things.
And it's so revelatory about the way that I thought about things.
Yes, yes.
It's so good in its own specific way.
Yes.
It's bad. It's very bad, but so good.
So there's a quote where Buck is like just thinking about it, and he says, in the middle of the piece, Buck had included what he believed was the truth, of course, but he did not editorialize. It was, as usual, a third-person, straight news analysis article. Okay, motherfucker, that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Because every decision around an article involves, like, you making a choice about something.
Yeah.
The choice to write about the article at all. The Go choice off. To include, like, whatever info. You cannot be objective Go as off. A human being. Like, journalism is not objective. Queen. It's just not.
Queen.
So, you're fucking stupid.
Yeah, and I think this was, like, a thing up until, like, 2010.
Yes, where we're people like, objective.
Would polish like, their knob off
bitch,
to objective
come on.
Shit. Fuck
like,
off.
It's not possible.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
Logan Roy, fuck off. Yeah.
But I thought the way he kind of handled it was good. Again, caveat, based on the book.
It's a Christian book.
A Christian yeah. book. But like, to me though, like, you just went through the literal Christian rapture. Yeah. How the fuck do you do that objectively?
You can't. Like,
because I think
like,
he said that he put like Bible verses and stuff in it.
Yeah, he did include it. He like wove it in, like being like, this is
weird?
An option. And like, wow. Yeah, no, he specifically does. Right. I don't remember this in this chapter. I guess it must be in this one. Where, yeah, he like, he weaves in a few things that mm-hmm. are kind of like that. Well, this is the way he's like literally like admitting he's not actually being objective.
Right. And the next chunk of it is Buck talking to like a big wig in the Catholic Church. And
oh
it's
my
very
God.
Interesting because this,
yeah.
I guess this is doing double duty of like showing what, you know, vaguely religious people in the world think now, meaning
in the world of Left Behind. Yeah.
And also the world of that Jennifer and I grew up in is that Catholics are bad.
Catholics are evil and they basically and serve the devil.
They don't care about the kid stuff. They only care about like there's this line about like them focusing on like the breaking off from Martin Luther.
Yes.
And like
yes,
blaming,
they did.
Blaming that. And it's like, motherfucker, that is, they don't talk about
that. I don't
really
care about that. No, like my impression, like growing up, like evangelicals hate Catholics because they're like, they pray to the Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm.
They think Mary's God.
Saved through grace.
And that's idolatry.
And then Catholics are like, you guys are so weird.
You guys are really fucking weird.
We don't consider you, but you're so weird whenever you come up.
As part of this article that he's written, yeah, he talks to a cardinal in the Catholic Church. But actually, I'm getting a little ahead of myself, because before that, this came up in the last book too, but only like a sentence, and now we're getting more into it.
Yeah.
Which is that they had gotten a new pope, like, new just pope. A few months previously, and he disappeared in the rapture.
Yeah, the new pope, who had just been installed a few months before the rapture, had stirred up a controversy in the church with a new doctrine that seemed to coincide with more the heresy of Martin Luther than the historic orthodoxy they were used to. That is such a jerk-off bullshit line.
It's such an evangelical brain.
It's so stupid.
Comment.
It
like,
rocks.
You, like, it's extremely, like, you were thinking about this so much more than they
you
are.
You thought you killed it right here.
Like, you really, like, got their ass. Yeah. Like, everything in this whole Catholic section is them being, like,
so
really
bad.
Got their ass. And it's like, this is actually just embarrassing.
Yeah, because
this is embarrassing
and
for
they,
you.
And they say kind of in the background that the cardinal that Buck interviewed is basically like, all those motherfuckers who followed that fat fuck Martin Luther, that's who got raptured.
Yeah.
And you know, that being said.
And by raptured, it means it was bad.
They oh, zap raptured.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that does kind of presuppose. Suppose that they don't think the rapture exists, but or whatever.
Right, they didn't think, and then because it happened, they're like, well, it must have been taking the bad people.
Exactly.
Right? And, which is hilarious.
And the thing that does kind of rock about this Catholic response is it is the only other probable reaction.
Right.
And that is God got tired of the Bible thumpers.
Like, get
and
out of
zapped
here.
Them. And you know, that I think that's probably what I would believe back in that day, and or even though again, as we've said,
yeah.
If the actual rapture happened, we would hide out for 3 weeks and then become evangelicals.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to.
You'd have to. But, like, in this context, this is the only other one that explains the problem of why was it only weirdo Christians?
But here's the thing, though, and Bug does bring this up. He's like, okay, cool. What about the babies, though? What about the babies and the children? And that's when the cardinal's like, that's for God to explain.
They're all Hitler.
Goodbye.
They're all Hitler babies.
They're all evil. They're just all baby antichrist born at the same time.
Maybe they, like, he says something like to spare them something.
Well,
but
yeah.
Yeah,
I think that, yeah, he, cause yeah, there's actually like a kind of back and forth where, Buck says, what does that say about all the wonderful people who vanished? And the cardinal's like, that perhaps they were not so wonderful.
Yes, go off.
And the children and babies. The bishop had shifted uncomfortably. That I leave to God.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a very weird chunk, but I like it.
The other, like, gotcha moment that Buck tries to do, which is so fucking stupid and, like, makes me furious, is that he, like, can't resist asking the cardinal about that, like, Ephesians 2:8-9 verse that's like, by grace are you saved through faith, and not a verse, it's the gift of God.
Yeah.
And then, like, being like, oh, gotcha, like, what does that mean?
And I love that.
Like, he really thinks he's making a point.
Right. And this comes right after Buck says, of course, I didn't editorialize. And then he goes for this editorialization. But then he goes, yeah. I didn't put that in there.
I didn't put that. I just was thinking.
But do
it.
You think, Buck, that since you're telling us, the reader of Left Behind, which I assume you have a choice in this, I'm not too sure, where I stand on how you exist within Do You Know You're in a Book? But all that being said, are you sure you didn't put any of that shit in there? You asked this guy about the Bible.
Yeah. And it's just, like, really interesting because, again, like, bringing up the, like, if you grew up evangelical, like, the way Catholics are talked about is very, like, well, they think they're saved by works, but we know you're only saved by faith.
Yeah.
Which, as I've talked about, what is, like, making a choice and making a decision, but, like, a thing you did.
And that you act on.
You acted on. Mm-hmm. Like, you did a thing. That is, how is that not a work? It makes no sense.
Say it.
But I don't think Catholics, like, to me, because, like, the other way you can do it is that Catholics are like, well, there are stakes. Like, you got to do stuff.
Yeah.
And well, evangelicals, you just be like, I said the prayer. And
I agree with the evangelicals that Catholics are not going to heaven, but we don't all agree on the reasons.
Well,
why.
They're going to hell, but it's like cool hell, though. Like, it's like,
yeah,
very, like,
it's
gilded.
Liturgical.
Yeah. Little Nas X is going to be there dancing.
Yeah. It's not as painful, but it is more boring and hot and serves cunt, as they say.
It does. It does serve cunt. That honors the Lord. Yeah, serving cunt in a God-honoring way. And while we're still in Buck's viewpoint, like, he's, you know, been just like,
we need more main characters, man.
Yeah, we, please, God,
we
need another.
More main characters?
I don't remember. We got
we get,
to.
We get,
right?
We get Chloe.
Do we? I don't even remember anymore.
So
we need it really
three
bad.
Characters?
I don't know.
How
we
need,
we need more.
I think we do. Because I think they, like,
I just need something different. I'm tired of these guys.
Actually, I don't think we do. I think we get, like, I don't remember. We have to get one more of a sided, even though I can't think of a single person.
Tiny spoiler alert. Rayford for sure gets a wife eventually. I remember that.
I don't know who she is.
I don't remember her. I think I do remember her name weirdly.
I really only remember.
I think it's Irene.
That sounds right. Wait, no, that's his old wife.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it'd be funny if you married a new Irene.
Oh, damn. Maybe I'm wrong.
Or whatever his son's name is.
Oh, yeah, no, I think you're right, Randy actually. Jr. No, but I remember. I know that she has gray hair. They talk about her having, like, salt and pepper hair. And I remember that very clearly.
I think the way they handle it is, like, they have the meat of having new characters, but they're, like, giving reports to the old characters.
That makes
I think
sense.
Is how it works, but I don't remember.
So, yeah, so the first chunk of this was Buck just, like, thinking about his article. And then he does some more phone tag with Chloe. Again, do not fucking care.
Sucks.
But then he gets a message from Steve Plank, who is pissed that he's not answering him about this meeting with Carpathia. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Carpathia is not a guy that likes to be kept waiting. So what the fuck is wrong with you?
And Buck is like, well, I mean, it is Saturday, so maybe.
She's got some plausible deniability.
I just moved.
Like, oh, my bad, my phone wasn't hooked up right.
But Plank knows that's bullshit.
Yeah. He knows it, but he's playing interference for Buck right now because he still, like, thinks highly of him and is like, you know.
As we said before, Bruce is the world's least helpful person, so he doesn't know what to do, so he kind of punts it down the road.
Yeah. But essentially at this point, Buck is just like, yeah, I'm just gonna like wait it out and see what happens.
Maybe tomorrow we'll figure it out. Who's to say?
So then we cut to, I think this was happening on Saturday, I'm assuming. And now.
This is Saturday.
Yeah. And now we cut to Sunday.
Cause part of the annoying shit is that Chloe's like, I'll see him tomorrow.
I'll see him tomorrow. So I can just be a little like, you know, mysterious whatever and I answer his calls.
Yeah. I don't want to seem too thirsty.
Yeah, exactly. So Rafer and Chloe get to church early because it's so popular, and they get the last spot in the parking lot.
Crazy.
And guys, once they get sat down, Buck shows up to sit behind them.
Yay.
And this is again where Rafer like stands up to hug Buck and is like, "Sure, it's weird. I mean, dudes, I'm hugging.
Man, I love to hug dudes now.
It's, I guess it's not gay. If God says to do it.
It's very weird.
Yeah. And then we cut to Buck. Like, you get the cuts. Are killing me. They're so stupid. And the way that this chapter is cut, they just cut the chapter partway through the sermon.
They love to do that.
Why did you do that?
Well, that's because.
Have you ever read a book?
The Hunger Games hadn't come out yet, so they didn't realize that you wanted to make your reader, like, excited.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, there's still a sermon happening.
It's like, well, seems like it's time to stop.
Yeah. So, yeah, cuts to Buck, and they're singing, the congregation is singing, and I'm like, oh my god, are they listening to CCM, contemporary Christian music? Like, because the way they were talking about it, it almost didn't sound like they were talking about hymns. Like, they were talking about, like, a simple chorus stuff, and I'm like, oh, is this, like, projector shit?
It was projector shit, yeah.
Like, projector shit, so we're talking. Our God is an awesome
probably,
God. Here
probably.
Ends.
Probably.
What are the other hits? What are the classic hits you can think of?
Every take I take is taking you. You make me move, Jesus. Yeah, that one's there.
Praise of mercy.
That song rocks. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that one.
Praise Adonai.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
That was
too.
A good one, too.
That
one's great.
That's a little more classic. That's a little
That's
older.
A little more classic.
Yeah, that's an older one. They like to sing that. That one was like okay at my church. Mm-hmm. Like that was like not too contemporary for them.
All's Well with My Soul. That one gets me even today,
oh,
baby.
So,
that's
yeah.
the guy that like his kids died.
Oh, that's a hymn as hymn though.
Yeah,
that's like
true.
A real hymn. Hymns are valid. Like even though I don't, they're the same as like singing about like whatever fake
if
thing.
If you wrote a hymn about your entire family drowning, I'll allow it.
Yeah, you can do that. So number one, so they sing and like they get to it like pretty quick in this time. Like, I guess usually they do a little bit more like fanfare ahead of mm-hmm. time and they like pass the offering tray around
to get
people to put their dollars in the plate.
But again, Bruce just like stumbles out.
Yeah, he bursts out of the like pastor's office like sweating already.
And
like a flurry of papers.
And they point out his hair's weird, his tie's weird,
yeah.
His shirt's not tucked in.
Yeah, like, they were constantly, like, in the same way that they're like, hey, guys, did you know that Patty's fucking stupid? They're like, hey, did you know that Bruce is a fucking mess?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he looks like shit.
I love the implication that he doesn't have 2 minutes
no.
to comb his hair.
No, he's been...
To tuck his shirt
he's
in?
He's been drinking in the word of the Lord.
Yeah,
he doesn't
I mean,
have time for that.
That's a pretty strong tactic, and I do gotta give it
that's
up.
That's why he smells extremely like BO now.
As you can see, I have piss and cum stains, so you can tell that I am absolutely of the 1% of the top 2% of people that know about
of
the
Christians.
Bible.
Yeah, so number one, Bruce starts a very wrong. After like coming out and like looking fully like a crazy person, Tim, can you please read what Bruce says here?
Does God not speak to me audibly?
Wait, no. Does God speak to me?
Does God speak to me audibly? No. I wish he would. I wish he had. If he had, I probably wouldn't be here today. But he wanted me to accept him by faith, not by proving himself in a more dramatic way than simply sending his son to die. You went through the rapture. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm pulling a buck and editorializing. Yep. But he wanted me to accept him by faith, not by his proving himself in some more dramatic way than simply sending his son to die for me. He has left us this world, and it gives us all we need to know.
This makes me so mad.
Could you imagine living through the world's second recorded weirdest thing? The asteroid hitting, killing the dinosaurs. You've been like, I mean, God, he's not willing to prove himself.
Right? Well, number one, he just did it.
Yeah, and then spoiler for 8 minutes from now. That's the whole thing he's lining up for the bulls and the trumpets and the seals.
Yeah. Like,
God loves us so much that he sends the X-Men apocalypse
on us. To obliterate our asses. Yeah. Because he loves us so much.
But yet, God is coy. And that's the thing. It's like, hey, it's a classic we got him moment of like, your circular tautological reasoning here is so bad and it's not internally consistent.
No.
Does this change your opinion? Maybe does this make you fix your fucked up religion?
No, yeah, because here's the thing. Because like what he's trying to be like, this isn't a punishment. This is like a wake up call.
Right.
Like,
it's our fault.
Okay. But inherently though, it is a punishment because you're like, well, bad times are going to come on you because you didn't listen earlier. Right.
And this
is a punishment.
This is a punishment. And so it's also weird. Let's go back into the thing that I made you cry about one time is about free will.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if the Bible says the rapture happens and the justification for the rapture is that the people of Earth were not loving God enough.
Yeah.
Jennifer, I ask you, did the people of Earth have a fucking choice?
No.
No.
They don't. Is this not the fault of the Lord?
Is this not the fault of the Lord?
He has communication problems.
The Lord is willing to do a couple things. And he only does those couple things over the course of 40 years. I'm counting all 33 of Jesus's, even though I don't think that's fair.
Like, literally then it's like, okay, well, why didn't you like take this sign that I gave you literally 1,000 years ago?
And it's the thing that we always say, like, they give God the coy thumbs up of being like, oh, he still wants you to be saved by like faith.
Yeah.
But motherfucker just disappeared 80 million people.
Yes.
Like, how can you not? Motherfucker is sending weird asteroids.
Yes. And he's sending scorpions and fly.
Well, no. Remember, unsaved people do not see the scorpions.
Oh, right.
So I think that is how they wiggle past some of this stuff. That is a good counter. I'll give you guys that
the
one.
The non-Christians don't see it.
Right, but still, the whole thing is, as we said, if we were in this world, literally, we would be stubborn goat meme. Like, I don't give a fuck that you're hitting us with 5 asteroids and scorpions.
Like, fuck you. Why'd you do that?
That's so stupid, God.
Like, it's like, hey, like, because again, and I feel like I've said this, like, already on the show, but whatever. Like, it boils down to me. It's like, okay, God, you made us. And then you're like, okay, you've got to figure out my puzzle, like, or you will burn in flames forever. And I made you the way you are. And I decided to not show you things in a specific way. Good luck. Like, well, you seem like an asshole.
And it seems like you're testing me, and I don't care for it. How about you speak to my neurodivergent ass and tell me what you want instead
of words, God?
God.
And not the Bible.
Also, I'm glad that you said not the Bible, because I was just about to say, and not the Nicene Creed, which is like these fucking weirdos being like, do this letter.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah,
we are arguing as if God is real right now, and that's fair for us.
I am arguing against God.
Jennifer's face is red.
I'm triggered right now. I'm getting mad.
Yeah, you're heated.
I am hot right now, actually. Another thing that really, like, absolutely blasted me off my ass was them using the phrase or the word churchianity. Did that ever come up as a thing around you?
Well, I ask you this. I've never heard that term before. I must have in, you know, 2005 or something.
Yeah.
But, or 2002. But, is that better than Creaster?
Well, Creaser's different. Yeah.
Creaser is different. You're right.
Creaser is the people who just show up to church on Christmas and Easter.
I decided church nativity is good. Thank you.
Well, because that's so what he's saying is like people who go to church but don't really believe in God.
Even when I believed in God, I got church nativity vibes from people in church.
You know, like you're just here because it's.
But that being said, the reverse of it is like, isn't church so good? It inspires the exact same things that one would say of churchianity, meaning like community, but none of the other stuff, right? I don't know. It's weird. I mean, Bruce is saying it because that's what he did, so we have to take it as fact, right?
Yeah. The other thing that Bruce says in this little chunk that just, again, made me just lose it was, the Bible says that the cross offends. If you are offended, I am doing my job.
Go off.
This is literally what every, like, right-wing evangelical Republican thinks. Yeah. Like, oh, are you offended, Snowflake? That means I'm doing my job. Like, no, it means you're annoying and everyone hates you.
Yeah. That's a good justification of, like, how so many evangelical people think.
Yeah.
Because there's so many, like, off-ramps of like, self-policing.
Yes.
Of, like, well, if they feel bad, then that's good, actually.
And, yeah, no, and it's, and I think it's, like, both an excuse and also a way to make people get over their natural impulse to be like, this feels shitty to do this.
It's, oh, that's
like,
a good point, yeah.
Oh, but you're supposed to be.
Oh, you're uncomfortable? Yeah. Well, keep pushing.
Exactly. So after he kind of does this intro, Bruce dives into what the topic of the sermon is about, which is very metal.
Hell yeah.
The topic is the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Let's go.
And he does the whole, like, all right, explain, like, over the next 7 years, there's going to be three consecutive sets of judgments. We've talked with them a little bit, but just a reminder, the first set are the sealed judgments. There's going to be seven seals in a scroll. Next set, seven trumpets. Final set, seven bowls.
Okay, 21 separate oopsie whoopsies.
Yes.
But some of those are, like, very specific. Like,
yeah.
And they're not bad. It's like, whatever.
Tim, can you read this chunk from Bruce's sermon here?
I would love to. And then Bruce says, "These judgments, I believe, are handed down for the purpose of shaking us loose from whatever shred of security we might have left. If the rapture didn't get your attention, the judgments will. Horrible as these judgments will be, I urge you to see them as final warnings from a loving God who is not willing that any should perish."
Again, this train of thought is so abusive. Honestly, like, this is like, it really is like an abusive spouse. Like, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm hurting you because I love you. Like, I'm doing it to get the point across to you.
That part's not super chill, for sure.
No, and I think that it like, growing up in a world where that is, like, a framework, like, that, like, oh, the ultimate good, God, does this, kind of fucks up your sense of, like, what's okay to, like, have happened to you.
Because you believe you deserve it. Exactly. You know, they're just trying to do what's best for me, yada, yada, yada.
So you – it's, like, all the, like, normal impulses you feel of, like, this is wrong. Or, like, well, but they've explained it in this way.
Yeah.
So actually it's good that they're doing it. And it just – it makes me really upset, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, because it's, like, well, faith without – well, faith can't exist if God does enough, but it's like, well.
Right. Then it's like, well.
But he's allowed to, like, beat your ass. Yeah. That's still faith
it's
or something.
Like, again.
But I guess that is internally consistent. Like, if you can have faith with an evil, punishing God, then maybe.
Then you're. Well, then faith. It will allow you to, you know, be under a, like, shitty, abusive, like, pastor. Or,
which,
like,
is helpful.
Shitty, abusive parent, shitty, abusive spouse. Like, it just, it's really fucked up.
Yeah.
And it, like, it does this thing of, like, equating punishment and violence with love that I think that so many people are fucked up from that.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the final showdown of the Bible, right?
Yeah.
So there's so much of the climax of this quote unquote story of existence that anything in here is so chock full of meaning that how can you not take super, super, super importance from everything within it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. But Bruce goes on to, the sealed judgments, which again will last for 21 months. I like how he teases, good storyteller,
yeah,
teases the other judgments. He's like, I'm just going to get in to the first four, but actually I'm just going to get in the first one.
Yeah, it's like everything's so bad. I couldn't possibly get into all of it on this Sunday.
I could talk about this motherfucker for so long.
And like, this is a reminder. This is all technically Buck's section where this is happening. Mm-hmm. So Buck is like absorbing all this.
So this is kind of what I was talking about before of like, we still are only going to have 2 to 3 main characters. But here comes tier 2 and tier 3 characters that are going to say and do all these things. And you know, it's kind of going to play with the rules of, like, first and third person.
But while Buck is, like, listening to this sermon, the thought that occurs to him is that, like, damn, the only other person that is, like, as equally charismatic as Bruce is Nikolai Carpathia, the Antichrist.
Phrase.
But he does, like, in his mind be like, but it's totally different because, like, Carpathia is, like, very, like, studied and, like, practiced and it's, like, not genuine versus Bruce is up there looking like shit, sweating, like, obviously it's coming from the heart.
Right. And hilariously, we don't know it at the time as we're reading it, but next chapter, Bruce literally says, hey, I'm not the Antichrist, but who knows?
Yes. Oh, my God. Again, like, Bruce, like, dude, have you, like, ever taken, like, a public speaking class? Like, bro. Like, anything?
That's the number one rule. Don't say you're the Antichrist.
Don't say that. So we come back over to Rayford and like Rayford and everyone in there is just going absolutely bugfuck over this sermon. They love it. They love learning about the four horsemen. Mm-hmm. Rayford also, while this is happening, is thinking about how Bruce told him that this doctrine of the end times is super old, which, dear listeners, if you've listened to our episode of Dispensationalism, you'll know is not true.
Yeah.
Like, and they literally just, like, lie about it. Like, and I don't know if it's, like, a lie or if they just think it has bad. Because I thought it was old, but it's not.
Well, yeah, right. And they are explicitly saying, like, the interpretation of it. But, like, one on their, you know, huffing the Kool-Aid side of things could think, well, sure, this guy said it in the 1800s. But he, you know, divined it or whatever from... This happened in the year 38, right? So, this felt so much like, oh, you think this is just us make? No, it's old as hell. Rayford said it.
Yeah. No, like, it's that, like, whatever the, like, logical fallacy, like, appeal to, like, authority or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, well, the Bible's been saying, it's like, well, number one, it literally hasn't. Number two, the Bible's written by dudes. Mm-hmm. And who cares?
They change it sometimes.
There's another part where Rayford's thinking, again, I'm just going to read this because this is also like very indicative of evangelical viewpoint. But those who had relegated this kind of teaching to the literalists, the fundamentalists, the close-minded evangelicals had been left behind. All of a sudden, it was all right to take scripture at its word. And this gets me to my conclusion that left behind is an evangelical revenge fantasy.
No, that is absolutely true for 110%.
Like it's really them like, ha, you idiots. Idiot. This is what happens to you. Looks like actually the fundamentalists that you see are stupid and don't know history or right.
Yeah, and have tax shelters in the Cayman Islands and, you know, we're on Epstein's airplane.
And are probably like touching like 13-year-old girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, literally, like, honestly, like, this is like just a side thing of like, unfortunately, we're in 2023 in a world where, there's a huge, like, right wing, like, freak out whipped up about trans people and about drag queens. And it's like, motherfucker, have you seen how many youth pastors are constantly getting arrested for assaulting children? How many pastors? How many teachers? Like, deal with your shit.
The evangelical right wants us to focus on the Catholic side of things, which is very bad.
The Catholics don't want us to focus on that.
They don't want us.
And
they want
to. We should focus on that also.
We should say, guys, yikes.
That's also very
bad. That being said, there's just as much reason to believe that your standard end of the road Baptist church has done it as much, if not more.
I think the only reason that maybe evangelicals have done it less is they have less of a, like, system than the Catholics do. Like, they don't all, like, feed up to the same, like,
church. And I will say, like, a guy that's in charge of 40% of America and for the Catholics being like, just move this rapist to another town.
Yeah, that's very bad.
That is worse.
That's
I will say
very
that.
Very bad. But, like, if you look up, like, the Southern Baptist Convention has had a whole, like, thing about rampant like sexual abuse happening in the church. So like, don't think it wasn't happening there.
And I know Dan Savage isn't as consistent as we would love, but like his thing that said like, if circuses touch kids as much as church do, then their churches would be, or circuses would immediately be illegal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like, they're just like, whoopsie, we just like have to like get over the fact that like a certain percentage of children will be touched.
But Jennifer, that's just humanity, baby.
Oh my god.
No, it's horrible. It gives me a stomach ache. I cannot believe I was a part of this, and I try to make other people become a part of this. And
yeah. We were like literally children though.
Yeah,
when
that's
we were
true.
Doing that.
I mean, and like we say,
because were we ever like really like proselytizing like once we became like adults? We've never done that.
And
weird. The second that my brain advanced, I was like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, yeah. It's dark and not great. But again, I think we have to balance our own personal therapy zone on all
this
stuff.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What are you gonna do?
No, I'm a hater. I'll fully admit it, I'm a hater.
So on that note.
Yeah.
Chapter 4.
Yeah, baby. Bruce is still fucking doing his sermon. Like, literally, why do they cut the chapters like this?
I think it's because they have to go to bed. You know? Sense. Like, what if you have to go to bed right now?
To like want to leave a like convenient picking up point,
right? Which is,
but don't you want it to be like wrapped up at the end of the chapter?
You don't want to leave a convenient end point. Yeah. You want people to be gagging,
like, oh my god, what is Bruce saying in his sermon? I gotta get back to reading.
But they don't really do that. They do kind of like
they don't do anything. It's just like edit still happening.
Yeah, get Stephanie Meyer. Get whoever wrote Hunger Games.
Yeah, I forget her name already. Yeah. Something. Yeah,
get those two authors in there and let's punch this shit up.
When I was reading the Hunger Games, I did legit like would make myself stop in the middle of a chapter, like if I was reading before bed, so that I would not get to the end of the chapter and be like, well, I gotta keep read it now.
Yeah, no, they do that to trick
you. They did a great cliffhanger. We're back with Buck's point of view, and he has this thought that his heart is on a precipice. I'm like, okay.
I don't know
what that means, but cool.
I think we're supposed to take that as like a beautiful sentence.
Yeah, I think so.
But
too.
It's completely empty because.
Like, it's on the precipice of what?
Of what? Like, we know you're a Christian, you weirdo. Like,
yeah, you're about to become a mega Christian.
Right.
Like turbo Christian.
You've already, like, your whole thing is you're about to go lie to the fucking Antichrist.
Exactly.
Like, what?
I mean, that is you know what? In his defense, actually, that is a precipice.
And I guess.
Yeah, and that he might die.
And I think.
he might get killed.
I think we're taking precipice in the like, very different way, which is, like, you go left, you go right, which I think a precipice is really just a cliff.
You're right. Like, you're about to fall
He's
over
He's about to
into
fall
something.
Over, so.
Yeah.
Yet again, we come back and we agree. Left behind is perfect.
Yeah. Bruce has a thing here where he's like, okay, the four horsemen aren't supposed to be to convey specific, like, individuals. And I'm like, why though?
So this
why do you say that?
This part is such word soup that feels like it's doing quadruple duty.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is happening every 17 words of these books is so much of you feel the author's pen stroke.
Yes.
And you can tell what they're trying to do. And they are trying to kind of pen a codified, I don't know,
theology,
like, right?
Yeah, like
a fictional nonfiction of what, like, in case of emergency, read this. This is an idea, a fun version of it or whatever.
But this is where I just think it's so interesting that they, like, evangelicals, literalists, fundamentalists, whatever, claim that they're like, oh, like, our view of the Bible is very black and white. And it's like,
right.
It's not, though, because like, you're not, why are you not taking this part literally?
But in this part, Bruce goes back and forth.
Yes.
And it doesn't make any fucking sense because he's like, Horseman 1 is the Antichrist.
Right, so that was personal.
But it's, he like,
individual.
Right, and he kind of goes back and says that, but he's also like, it's not him. It's him and his people. So it's like, why did you say this?
Right.
Because you could just say the horse and the horseman. And it also got to the extent of like, is the horse important in this at all?
Yeah, like, is there like a man and the man does his thing?
But like,
and the
so
horse
it's like, he starts with it
Maybe
so.
There's a page there. I don't know.
Right. It's so clear he's saying that the first horseman is the Antichrist.
Yes.
But the next three are not a
They're
guy.
Like the concept of sickness.
Right.
The concept of famine.
And then he follows it up with that the next, you know, that the first guy isn't a guy either, but he is a guy.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
can tell he's a guy and he was a guy Because he has a crown. It's so confusing and weird.
So let me,
and you can tell what they're doing. They're trying to convince you.
Yes, they are. So let me, like, this is going to, like, be out in left field for a second, but it's going to come back.
Let's hear it.
So, Tim, we watched a show, a wonderful show called Nirvana and Fire.
Love that show.
And a thing that happens a lot in that show, it's a Chinese drama. It's really, really good. You should definitely watch it. It's like, what if Game of Thrones was in ancient China and, like, actually better?
Yeah, and you have to take – once you get through the, like – The genre.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely some genre stuff. But anyway, so like a whole, you know, there's like a king, there's like an emperor, and there's many people vying.
There's a Yeti.
There is a Yeti in it later on. But the way in that show that people would like go argue things to the emperor.
Yeah.
And you could just see like they would just be twisting like their argument like any which way. Like watching that made me be like, oh, damn, you could just argue anything.
You can say anything.
You can say anything. And then connect that back to, I see this constantly in like the QAnon sphere of like, if you start from your conclusion, you can make yourself an argument for it. And that's what's happening here, is that
And then after the fact, you cherry pick.
Exactly, like, exactly.
And now they're writing a fiction.
But they're trying to act like they're not doing that. Yeah. But they very clearly are, because they're not consistent in their logic.
And let me just say again that, like, he does go back and say that, like, he kind of includes the whole apparatus of this New World Order. So that does still kind of go against his whole argument of like, one thing's a guy, but the other three aren't. Like, why is this here?
Why would you not just say the whole thing is like
none of this is guy
or whatever?
Yeah, like, the Antichrist is the fucking crown.
And as I think I maybe in the dispensation, one of the other episodes, like, the interpretation of who the white horse represents has changed through time, because there were time periods where people thought it represented Jesus, which is literally the opposite of the Antichrist, if you ask me. So
that's
like,
my opinion, actually.
So acting like this is just like a decided, like, this is the interpretation of this is like insane, especially
we've known it for so long.
Apparently. But like in a world where they're like, we take things literally, but not this. And that's where they always have the little escape hatches, like, we take it literally unless it's obvious it shouldn't be. Like, well, who decides that? Who decides where it is not obvious?
And that? We went off on this in the most recent Dear Internet, but like, there's two, I didn't even know this till my late teens, early 20s, there's two fucking creation stories and they're different.
They're different.
And then once they get done with the creation stories, there is a story about how angels are raping women and creating a race of giants.
And there's two Noah's Ark stories. Yeah. Different amounts of animals.
That part fucks me up more than the creation part.
Okay, these ones are 2x2, but these ones are like, okay, this kind of animal, you need to bring like 7 kinds of that.
But in the creation, is just kind of like, that has a different vibe. It's just like,
well, because one's so, like very vague, and like one's more specific.
One is telling a story of a guy versus like in the beginning begat this.
Right. So, like, the universe was this and blah, blah, blah.
So like, literally, and I've said this before, like, some of my teachers were on the History Channel being like, well, of course everything in the Bible is literal. Oh, it's like, I mean, I have decided the Nephilim are real. And well, how are you going to defend yourself?
That's having a moment on Twitter, apparently. Yeah. The Nephilim are coming to
the Nephilim of Kandahar. Just Google it.
I was going to look that up yesterday, and then I forgot. So I have to go dig, get really twisted tonight and go deep into the Twitter minds.
Just think about it. Like, it's going to happen. The Nephilim will rise up. What are you going to do? They're 20 feet tall. Yeah. Bullets barely work against them.
I think you just got to, like, roll over, show him your belly, and be like, can I be your little servant? Can I would be your little jester?
A toady / butt boy for a Nephilim.
Yeah. I mean, as I've said, like, if, like, robots take over, if the Vulcans take over, I'm immediately going to be like, I will serve you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm cool with this. Those are the main ones. Nephilim, I'm a little scared of, I'm going to be honest with you.
I don't trust the Nephilim. But
the robots, I'd be like, you'll be fair with me. Probably.
They're cold logic. You can't trust it.
Yeah, I know what I'm working with.
No, you can't trust it. You don't. Well, you actually might know what you're working with, but I don't.
That's just why I trust the robots and the Vulcans. So anyway, I feel like we kind of off track there, but
we're usually so on point.
Yeah, exactly.
We shouldn't lash ourselves for going on track when they literally break the fourth wall and are prophesizing to us.
Yeah, they're doing weird shit. We cut over to Rayford again, still experiencing Bruce's sermon. Mm-hmm. This part was really interesting to me too. He has a thought. He's thinking about how much he knows now about end times lore. And he thinks, It seemed he was becoming an instant expert, and he could not recall having ever picked up on a subject so quickly. This is like big QAnon vibes to me. Like, suddenly the veil has been lifted and I know everything.
Yeah, that's a great point, and something I hadn't really thought about until just now is I think there is an implication that the Tribulation Force slash the chunk of people they interact with learn faster because of God.
Because of God and because – well, and like I think too because they're very motivated too. They're like
– but that's not spiritual. Like I'm talking about the spiritual side of things.
It's right. God is like allowing them to absorb more.
He is opening the eight gates, so to speak. Like Mike Guy does when he fights Kisame.
Yeah, right? They're opening their third eye in their brain and it's depositing Bible verses straight into it.
Kind of like Jennifer said, they're not saying that. They're saying, isn't that interesting that I'm learning this so fast?
It's almost they don't realize what's going on, but the implication is there, I think. But
they can have their cake and eat it too by saying, oh, they are now so interested in it that they're learning faster, or maybe it's magic, or maybe it's not, but they're not actually saying it's magic.
Yes.
I think later they might imply it is, but whatever.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Then Bruce goes into more detail on the Antichrist, but he does stop himself before straight up saying, like, he does not want to say, I think the Antichrist is Nikolai Carpathia.
Yeah, and Ray and Buck or whoever the fuck is like, that's interesting. What to say? It was like, no, that makes more sense that it would be much more dangerous to be like, hey, the leader of the planet is the Antichrist.
Yeah, and this is where Bruce gets into the like, hey, like, here's how you can know I'm not that. Because he talks about like, well, we'll get to a point where you might start suspecting like every leader of being the Antichrist. But here's how you can know that I'm not one, which is that he does not have a warm, fuzzy message for the congregation. Tim, can you please read how Bruce wraps up his sermon?
So after 15 hours of pure bleak shit, he says, our only hope is in Christ, and even in him, we will likely suffer. See you next week.
That's it. That's the end of the sermon.
And they're like, usually we do some other shit, but like, usually the magic goes, all right, that's it. Bye.
Done. Goodbye.
Bye. It's like, leaves.
and then like, people like immediately like swarm him to like ask questions, because everyone again is just absolutely losing it.
Yeah, and I do love that they're like, you don't mean Nikolai, right? He's the best. It's like, I not say, well, think about it. That part, think about it.
I'm sorry, how fucking stupid are people? They're like, but he seems like such a nice guy. And they're like, did Bruce not just say that he would seem like a nice guy? What the fuck's wrong with you?
He's a lamb disguised, or a lion disguised as a lamb. Like, my eyes rolled in my head. But, you know, they have to do that shit, right?
They have to be like, gotta be dummies.
Yeah.
And also, you know, you ever, like, hear, like, a man on the street interview? People are dumb as hell, actually.
People, I thought about that today of, like, people on Facebook and Nextdoor, and they just say what I assume is made by bots or people who have never seen the English language before, but turns out they own like a huge, like, I don't know, like, poster making business.
Yeah, like they own like the local like wood, like timber place. They own a junkyard.
They made $900,000 last month and like occasionally teach like as a once a week at a college as an entrepreneur. And then you want to jump off a bridge. But, you know, you know what? Everything's fiction if you think about it.
So while the congregation is, like, milling about here after the sermon is done.
Yeah, because no one really wants to leave. It kind of painted a very chaotic picture of me, and I was just laughing.
This is like what it's like when a live podcast gets done and then everyone hangs around to talk to the host.
Speak on that.
I've done it. I'm not talking from me doing it. Because no other
like performer is like, now give me attention. I'm going to stand here.
Yeah, exactly. But podcasters, I love it.
Because usually preachers, what they do is they go out to the back.
Yeah, and everyone walks through and they shake hands.
And then they try to like get your money and shit.
Right. Put a few dollars in the collection plate. Mm-hmm.
Try to get that nut.
While everyone's milling around and being like, oh my God, is that really the Antichrist, right? Buck is like, hey, Chloe, you want to come see my apartment tomorrow? And she's like, maybe.
Maybe.
I feel like it. Maybe I'm over there.
Maybe my pussy feels like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I do like that he, at the beginning of the sermon, he's like, hey, the reason why I called you was, as the
deer. I didn't include that. That was honestly good.
Poor Buck.
That was funny.
I don't know. I don't really have any takeaway from the Buck and Chloe stuff, because there's no point boring. In it. It's,
I don't fucking care.
It's boring. It's annoying. Like, there are points that we could use our energy on and be like, oh, it's interesting to say this, but
no.
We're going to say this every 4 episodes until we finish the show. You know,
yeah.
There's no point to it.
Okay, listen, like, if you have a choice of talking about the like, phone, like, romantic phone tag of Buck and Chloe or the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, yeah. I think you know what my choice is.
Let's kind of like roll back a kissy and outline a little bit of it. We said it, but like, so the first horseman is the white horse.
Yes.
And we kind of talked about how they go back and forth where it's both the Antichrist and the Antichrist's ascent to power.
Yes.
And then I kind of even got confused because is it the battle that follows up or is that Horseman 2? I'm actually like,
I don't know.
I guess if I Google the Four Horsemen, I'll get the answer in 2 seconds.
We're going to get there. We don't need to figure that out right now.
But it's basically like, he lines up all this stuff, basically doesn't touch on a lot of it, but goes for 14 hours, apparently. And
I feel like it's implied he went for at least, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Because everyone's like, I'm fucking hungry.
But also, I love this butt.
Yeah. And he points out how consecutive judgments and whether it's bowl number 3, trumpet number 4, 1/3 of the population will die, and that stuff is sick as hell.
Yeah.
And that basically, something is coming up based off of the peacefication of the first horseman somehow. I don't know how they get to that point from the Bible.
No, wait, what do you mean by peacefication?
Meaning that he disarms everyone.
Oh, he disarms.
Guns.
Yeah.
And I don't know why they think that is such a thing. Bruce doesn't spend a lot of time on it, but the fact that it is, like, we know that's happening in the book.
Yeah.
But all I have to say is, like, they're very heavily implying that something bad is going to happen. And if you take, you know, just 1 or 2 chapters before, because Bruce said last episode of Tribulation Farce that I don't see America
being having a big part in this,
right? Again, very stupid because America didn't exist this time. So what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
I think it's really interesting, but I think unfortunately it's so confusingly displayed that we'll have to wait till the next time they bring it up.
Yeah, no, they're obviously gonna get into this like a lot more. But all you need to know is like, yeah, I got everybody really worked up.
Yeah.
So after church, Rafer goes up to chat with Buck, and wouldn't you know it, Rafer is also feeling really bad about the whole Hattie situation.
That was so interesting to me. It was so funny because
it's
like,
almost like the Lord put it on their hearts.
Or
to talk
it's like
about.
The same guy is reading about it, and he needs this plot point.
Yeah. And guys, again, we get another misogynistic like little comment.
Weird.
Where Buck and Rafer are talking about her back and forth, and Buck says, like Bruce says, I don't think he hired her for her brain. And Rafer nodded. Like,
sweet tits.
Man, seriously, fuck both of you.
Yeah.
Like, man, you did this to this woman, and now you're talking about how stupid she is.
Could it be possible, dear listener, that Hattie is also full of magical charisma that freaking Buck is? You know, again, let's remember that Rafer is literally interviewed in Buck's uber mensch story about the tribulation or about the rapture because he's a pilot. So they're already like jacking Rafer off, both subtly and not so subtly. And here we are, like, Is it just because she's hot? Is it just because she's a she? Is it because she's in a service industry? I think the answer is yes to all of them.
I think it's because she's a non-Christian woman. They're like, she's stupid and a slut.
You know what? I'll just do you one better. It's a woman, because Chloe's looking pretty bad now too.
Yeah, but she's not a slut though, and she's not stupid. She's being silly right now. That's actually a good point. She's being very shallow.
Yes.
But she's not stupid and slutty.
Write an essay on...
Because she's like not giving Buck attention.
Yeah.
And that's valid.
Interesting.
Versus Hattie's, again, a huge slut.
Yeah. But again, like we said last season, they accidentally wrote Hattie perfectly whenever she actually spoke.
Yeah.
Where she's like, you guys are idiots.
Yeah. No, she's right.
And mean.
Yeah. So Rayburn and Buck are talking, and Rayburn's like, yeah, like, probably can't really try to proselytize to her anymore. I don't think it's going to get through. And they're like, well, maybe we could get Chloe to talk to her.
These two ladies, you know.
Yeah. And then, but I mean, you know, because Chloe was like nice to her and they had like a pretty good rapport.
They went shopping,
you know, they were like chill.
It does make sense.
And then, like, as they're talking to you, Rafer is like, man, it'd be so weird if Chloe and Buck started dating. That dude's met the Antichrist. this is the part where that happens.
Yeah. I love that part because it's like, again, I say shit like this all the time. It's like, isn't it weird the TV program you're watching features the characters of the TV show?
Yeah.
As if
all these, like, important things are happening to them.
Right. As if one writes a TV show that is just focusing on the facts and then a guy randoms. No, that's not how it works. You focus on characters, babe.
Yeah.
You make it up afterwards.
So, yeah, Chloe's still being kind of weird about Buck. And
so annoying.
Yeah. So they don't, like, try to get lunch or anything with each other. Buck is Chinese takeout on his way back to his new apartment.
Ring the "we know what they're eating" bell.
Yeah, like, I don't know why I said, like, man, that's not.
That made me hungry.
That made me want a Chinese takeout. So he goes to pick up his phone to give Chloe a call.
Ooh.
But when he picks the phone up, it's like, you have one new message.
And this confused me, but they do the work throughout this, like, chunk to explain it, but, like
this is fucked.
They play the noise before you, the reader, can understand it, or maybe that was just me. So here's the thing. Buck previously was calling into his other voicemail or whatever.
Yeah.
And you do have to kind of remember this is 1996 or whatever. So
shit worked different then.
So, yeah.
You had to, like, call into your voicemail.
Right. And his previous voicemail was being forwarded or something like that. This is his current super unlisted line in Chicago.
Yeah.
So
what the fuck?
What the fuck?
How do you get this? And the person who's left a message for him once again is Steve Plank. And he's like, listen, bitch, final offer. Okay, you better show up. Get your ass to O'Hare. First thing tomorrow morning, there's a first-class plane ticket waiting for you, and then there will be a limo waiting for you in New York City to take you straight to Nikolai Carpathia. You gotta do this. Bye. Yeah.
I like that they're like, Steve said, if I'm not gonna hear from you again, so I assume you'll go. But they kept saying, like, he's gonna call.
He's gonna call again.
That bitch gonna call.
Yeah, so that's a little unsettling. What the hell? That's a pretty intense way to deal with that.
They are pushing the plot forward in a way that I do appreciate. It's like, oh shit.
Oh, finally we're getting some shit happening. Mm-hmm. And finally we're almost about to see Nikolai Carpathia. I miss his ass. We get another little cut, and we see Chloe trying to call Hattie, and the number's been disconnected.
Uh-oh.
So she is not living there anymore.
There's so much weird phone stuff.
There's a lot of back and forth phone shit happening, which, again, like, this would just not happen in
current times.
it was like annoying in the past to get in touch with people.
Exactly.
You just, like, couldn't. Maybe about, like, the past, and I was like, well, I'm going to send you a letter, and, like, maybe in a month you'll get it.
Dude, all the fantasy books that I read, they're like, I sent a letter, and it somehow got there before me. I'm like, just go with the letter,
guy. Go with the letter. Like, yeah. Like, you're going to give it to a pigeon and just,
get
like, hope
they
get there?
Yeah. No, thanks.
Because, like, we know from Game of Thrones that they had to just, like, send the same message with, like, 15 pigeons. Like, that, like, well, hopefully one of these will make it there.
I think sometimes, like, books are just like, shut up. Some guy just is, like, so fast.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and this, like, or how we deal with it in our D&D campaign is like, we have a sending stone. It's not a cell phone.
It's different.
It's definitely not a cell phone.
It's different.
Or we have these, like, teleportation circles that are definitely not our way to get around, like, needing to fly somewhere. So he gets the message and he's like, I need to go talk to Bruce about what the fuck I gotta do.
Which is so funny because the previous chapter starts with him being like, what do I do? And Bruce is like, I don't fucking know.
Right. But Buck's still like, well, I don't have any, because he doesn't want to say anything to Rayford and Chloe about this. Because
he doesn't want them to freak out. Which I thought that was interesting.
No, that made sense to me. So it's
like, you guys are the tribulation force.
Yeah,
baby.
You should be able to trust. And like Bruce is even like brings up like, I don't like this. This is not how I envisioned this working.
This part I do like with Bruce. Like previously he was a prick, and now he's kind of a prick. But like it makes sense. But
I think Bruce is just direct.
Yes,
I'm gonna start defending Bruce and standing
sure,
him.
Sure, sure.
I need someone to stand. Everyone's
sure,
annoying.
Sure.
And I haven't been able to see Nikolai Carpathia or Hattie.
I gotta
like latch onto somebody.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that cool pilot guy is not around. Yeah. Like all the cool side characters are not here.
Yeah, I hope that pilot shows back up. I googled it. I think I was wrong.
Even Marge. I would like to see Marge again. Like anyone but these jokers.
I was like, who is she talking about? And then I remember who Marge was in my heart. Hurt. I feel like we can't get another. She's in New York.
I know. I miss her.
I miss her so much.
We'll probably still get to hear from her every now and then because she'll call Buck. So Buck Hatch is like, hey, Bruce, want to come see my house? And
this was so weird how often they use come see my house.
My house. And then they're like, okay, so we're going to immediately leave and go to the pizza place.
I will say this. Whenever I even kind of like laughed at myself, whenever we have a guest over, like, let me show you my entire house.
No, but we actually.
But then I'm like, whenever I visit someone, they don't do that.
Well, but okay, to be fair to us, we've gotten a new house and we've had many friends come visit for the first time. And then we're like, look at our house.
That is true.
Like if we were visiting someone who had moved recently into a place, I think we would get a tour.
That's true.
I think that's pretty normal to do much.
It
friends.
Is, but it kind of made me laugh if we invited a neighbor over and
okay,
like,
hey, here's our house. Yeah, like, we wouldn't do it.
They didn't
neighbor.
Do it to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rude.
So yes, they settle down in a booth in the pizzeria.
They need to get pizza.
To talk this through, which did just make me want pizza really bad. Buck doesn't want Rayford and Chloe knowing about it, which Bruce is not super thrilled about.
Right.
But now Bruce has gotten to the point where it's like, well, it's obviously a bad idea to go see Carpathia, but it's actually a worse idea to not deal with it. Like, you're going to have to deal with it.
And I do think that is, like, the justification for Buck going and Buck not telling them is, like, I think it sets a bit of a stake, and I'm kind of surprised they don't lean into it more, meaning Buck could die here.
Yeah. Well, I think they know where their bread is buttered, and they're like, well, we can't even imply he's going to die. Like, obviously, he's our guy.
They want to give the reader a little titillation without actually doing it.
Another just absolutely baffling character choice that happens is that Buck does not tell Chloe, like, hey, FYI, don't come by tomorrow because I have to go to New York. And he's like, well, I wouldn't be able to explain it without telling you. Like, yes, you can. Just be like, oh, they needed me back in New York for work. Done.
I decided.
Are people bad at lying? It's pretty easy to just lie. Like, just make up a story. Come on.
They're not allowed to.
He's going for work, though. Like, it's not even a lie.
They do kind of lean into that and are like, hey, man, it's technically not true, not untrue that he's doing XYZ, but.
Exactly. So they're like fine with that, like, weird gray, like,
well,
technical line.
That's why I thought this part was annoying and why it makes the rest of it annoying is because since they have so much annoying phone tag, he can't say, don't just show up at my house tomorrow.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah. Right, right. So he's, I.
Wasted.
Which I assume means that Chloe's for sure going to show up and be like, what? You're just not even here when I get to see him?
And it feels anachronistic to us because she's going to fucking show up at someone's house.
Like, that's weird. don't do that.
You invited me to your house, so I'm not going to call or text. I'm just going to
show
up.
Like a psycho?
Mm-hmm.
So Buck does decide, like, okay, I'm going to show up to O'Hare.
Because again, said it.
I gotta
do it. The book said it. The book keeps pushing him on a different precipice. This is what he has to do.
Yeah.
It's the best choice, and it just is the best choice.
So he shows it to O'Hare, gets a fancy ass first class ticket under a fake name.
Fake name, McGillicuddy.
Which again, this is extremely pre 9/11 that you could do all this. Just like, did he not just show an ID? Like, what's up? You just get a ticket?
Yeah.
You're just like, go back there?
You know,
I never flew before 9/11. Like, my first flight was after my freshman year of college because I lived in the middle of nowhere. My family didn't go on trips.
I didn't fly before 9/11 either.
Yeah, so I don't know. I vaguely remember my mom like went on a work trip one time, and I was like little, so I don't know if this is like a real memory or just like they told me about mm-hmm. this, but we went to like greet her at the gate. Like that was so.
Oh, I did that all the time.
I was so little that I don't mm-hmm. really remember it. So I
remember my mom was like, my dad was out of town for a business thing or yeah. something. I don't remember.
Promise Keepers.
And my mom was like, hey, because my dad was supposed to come back, let's say, on Thursday. And it's Tuesday. Yeah. So my mom was like, I just like going to the airport. And I was like, what the? My mom's quirky.
Yeah.
And even at the time when I was like 12 or 13, I was like, my mom quirky. And I'm like, what the fuck? You're crazy. And this again, pre 9/11. And that being said, Tampa Airport did have some sick ass shops.
they do. It's like a little mall there.
Yeah. And it does kind of make me laugh even to this day how I did not expect at all that my dad was coming home soon.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And so he just walks out the gate like, right
what?
There. What the fuck? Yeah. But, different time.
So Bucket's on the plane. He gets extremely 5-star treatment on yes. the plane. They're like,
it's crazy.
This is the champagne?
Dom Perignon.
Yeah, Dom Perignon. And like, he's like, no, it's like 5 a.m. Like, it's like 7 a.m. I don't want this.
Is Dom Perignon nice, or is that just what everyone says is nice?
I don't know.
I can't keep
yeah,
track.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know
but if like, champagne. The thing is that he has this, not just 5-star treatment, but like weird 5-star
like,
treatment.
Everyone's like noticing like how much they're like doting on him
right.
on the
so,
plane.
So like, he walks up. And basically checks in and like, do you want to get on the airplane? I was like, sure, okay. I'm like, no, but you want to get on it now? Like a full 40 minutes before the troops get on?
Which, like, number one, like, not really. Like, I don't want to really be squished. But I guess if you're in first class, it's different.
Right. But they're like, I want to give you tasty treats.
Like, we're trying to give you a full bottle of Dom Perignon before this right. flight takes off. And he's like, oh, no, thank you.
It is weird that Nikolai was like, do you want to drink an entire bottle of champagne on what, a 2-3 hour flight?
Yeah, and also again in the morning like not even like mimosas,
it's
just
8:30,
like straight up champagne.
I mean, Nikolai rocks.
I mean, yeah, he knows how to have a good time, obviously.
Well, actually, I think they do lean into Nikolai's all about indulgence.
He is, yeah, which is why he's cool mm-hmm. and why everyone else sucks. Mm-hmm. So not only does he get the 5-star treatment on the plane, he also gets picked up by a fucking limo, and like he doesn't have to wait like at all for the person to like find him.
It's very funny how they like make this sound like a big deal. It's like a guy just shows up like right with me, sir, without holding a little sign, a little placard.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he gets in the limo, and there's just a guy there.
It's a guy in there, and he's like,
"Hey, what's up, guy?"
He's like, and the guy's like, no talking. And he's like, well, I'm going to talk to the driver. And the driver won't talk to him.
And he has the plexiglass. And he's like, all right.
So, yeah. So, Buck does, like, this. I have to, like, give the book credit every now and then when it says a funny thing, which is that Buck has this thought. Besides the fact that he'd skip breakfast, he also liked the prospect of eating more than that of dying. Because he's like, I hope we're going to breakfast and not
that, yeah,
for me
no,
to get killed by that, Nikolai Carpathia.
That part was really funny and I had to give it up because it's like he's waffling back and forth. He's literally looking outside of the window in New yeah. York because he doesn't know where he's going. And he's like, fuck, are we going to the UN or are we going to get – yes, we're going to get food.
Yes,
we're going to get food.
Pancakes, fancy croissants.
But yeah. more importantly, Jennifer, Rayford is taking his, and you wrote it down wrong.
What is it?
It's the 777.
No, really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I wrote it straight from the notes.
I mean, maybe I have a newer book.
What if they updated it?
Yo.
Okay, we're going to have to, guys. We're going to have to check it because I am, like, pretty sure it's the 757.
Do you think it's worthwhile for
yeah, because
the
I think
time I waste to
yeah, because I think okay. I could find it really because the book.
Well, it'll take me a second, but we can just, you know.
Where did I put the book? Bro! Guys, our books are different!
Holy fuck! Wait, is that the exact same sentence?
Yes!
Huh. Well, let me. Okay. I can confirm that your chapter transitions are the same. Oh my god.
It's different. I was like, I knew because the reason I remembered it is because I always think, oh, Boeing 747. That's like such a phrase. And it's like, oh, but this one's not that. It's a 757.
Yeah. So Jennifer's notes. So yeah,
my book says something different.
They're different. Rayford Steele sat in the cockpit of a Boeing 777. Jennifer's version is he sat in the cockpit of a 757.
So interesting.
Why did they do that?
Why did they change it?
Because I do have the different version.
You do. Yeah. And I want to see the copyright, what year it is on this one. Because they'll do updates on things sometimes,
but
you know?
Why would they do that?
Yeah. Copyright 1996 on this one. Can you see what the copy, like the like, yeah, look at the copyright info.
2007.
Okay. So they updated it. Weird. Why though? Why did they do that? Very strange.
Like I don't get it. What's a 7?
Well, that was I'm actually really glad we did that because that's so funny and weird. That no, indeed, our books are different for some reason. Where else is it different? What changes?
I'm gonna Google 777. What the fuck?
Yeah, like what the fuck? Like that's to me like that sounds like a fake plane, but it probably is real.
Is it a joke on 777?
I don't. What does that even mean though?
Well, because like you know. 7 is the Lord's number.
Oh, maybe. So Rayford is getting his test so that he can fly whichever version of the Boeing is more recent than what he currently, what?
777 was built and operated by Cathay Pacific in 2011.
What? So is it just a mistake?
I don't know.
Guys, we have a mystery afoot. What the hell? Tim, sorry to tear you away, but this is true.
No, please keep going.
This is true. The very last piece of this chapter, yeah. And I have to be done with this. But yeah, Rayford, he wraps up his test. Like, he obviously aces it. He does a great job. Like, takes off, lands, no problems at all. And like, at the end, like, he'd been kind of like trying to like joke a little bit with the examiner and he hadn't really like responded that much. And then at the end, he hands Rayford an envelope and Rayford's like, oh, are these my test results? And he's like, no, you won't get this for a few weeks. And he picks up the envelope and it is on UN stationery.
Whoa, let me read this one. Captain Steele, I assume you know the brand new Air Force One is a 777.
It says 757 in my notes.
Your friend, Hattie Durham.
So Hattie, I guess Hattie's trying to lure him over to get him to become the pilot for, is this Air Force One for the president?
Yes.
I had to read this
three times. Because
is she implying he's going to be the president as well as the head of the UN?
So, I think this is an easy solution. The authors are not super smart.
They don't really know what Air Force One is.
Or they're like, whatever, man. The point. It's not worth overthinking. The point is that Hattie is asking Ray to be the pilot of Nikolai, and I know what you're saying. The president of Romania does not fly an Air Force One.
No, isn't that just America's president's plane?
It's literally just America's plane. But that being said, the audience is American, so therefore.
But then it made me think, like, well.
It might be more different than that.
This is me, like, probably assuming, like, more thought behind this than I should. I'm like, is she trying to be like, oh, I can get you in with the president via Carpathia?
Maybe.
I guess we'll find out. We'll see.
You know what? And I think you're right. I think there is.
But it's also very possible that it's not that.
That's so out of the field.
Any leader that has a plane is Air Force One.
Right. And they have talked about the president. And just like tangential tertiary terms.
Yeah, they talked about him because he's like, again, like kind of like Bill Clinton-esque is the vibe that I get from him. And he was not raptured. That's the main stuff
exactly.
We know about him.
So America's weirdest ending sentence for
sure. Yeah, really, really. And the other thing in my book, the font was different for them. Yeah? Like, I love when they do that when it's like, this is a letter, so it looks different.
Oh, that was cool. I don't have that.
You don't have that.
Man, shit.
Yeah, you have to have the 757 version for that.
Well, friends, as we say, it's not the real Left Behind unless it says 757.
That's right.
That is so weird.
It's hilarious. Didn't this happen before? There was something different in our books.
But usually my books is wrong.
Yeah, we can just chalk it up to you having a bootleg before, but this is like an updated version
The new boring version that just has troops in the front.
Yeah.
Versus the sick, like cowards,
metallic,
the old versions that's all black and colored is so cool.
It's cool as hell. It's like shiny,
like the spooky ass moon. I'm afraid of the moon here.
Yeah, it's red moon. It's very scary.
Yeah, Google Tribulation Force until you see the cool looking one.
You'll know it. It's black and red.
Yeah. That's fascinating. I did not expect that. That is so cool.
Yeah.
good for them.
What a, like, just baffling couple of chapters. A lot of weird shit in it, for sure. A lot of very stupid phone tags that I would like them to stop doing.
Yeah, I Googled why do they switch from 757 to 777, and I edged dangerously into spoiler territory, so I...
Oh my god, no, you can't possibly spoil yourself. Exactly. You gotta keep yourself pure.
That's so funny.
Very strange. Well, guys, I am glad that we're digging back into it. I hope to God we see the Antichrist in the next chunk.
I miss him so much.
I really need to see him. I need to see Hattie. I need to see all the bad guys. I miss them so much, because I hate these fucking Christian dorks. They suck.
Yeah, golly gee, I feel like I'm excited for this book now. I thought this was super fun. Mm-hmm. Last episode, it was fun because we were getting back into it and I was excited, but the chapters were boring.
Yeah.
So this was so much fun.
This is a lot more Four Horsemen talk, which I enjoyed.
100% more, for sure.
Yeah, but, exactly.
You can follow the podcast on Twitter at TribFarcePod, on Instagram at TribFarcePod. Or you can email us any funny stories you may have. Please send them, even if we don't always mention them. We're so thankful. They're always so good. At tribulationfarce@gmail.com.
I also think that we should plug our Patreon a little bit. We did it at the beginning, but we didn't say where to go for
it. That's true.
At the very beginning of the episode, as we said, we just recorded about an hour-long episode about The Sopranos, a retrospective, because we just finished watching The Sopranos for the first time this past weekend. We've got other cool shit there. We talked about Andor on it.
Yeah, let's give the link real quick. It's patreon.com/contenthole.
Yeah, and like I said, like we've done episode about Andor. We did a
Chainsaw Man.
We talked about Chainsaw Man. I did a like K-pop music video introduction like viewing night, and we're gonna do another one of those soon, I think.
And so there's the bonus episodes, but there's also the community you join where you hang out on Discord with us, and we do fun stuff.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of fun to do the Patreon community things. It's been rad as hell. I love finding out what, I don't know, the community is and what they're into. That's patreon.com/contenthole. That is the Patreon for Jennifer and I, but it is the most direct way to support the show.
Yes.
Because again, the show would not exist if Jennifer and I didn't feel
obligated. That little twinge of like, I love doing it. I do, but like when you have a bunch of other shit going on, it's the like, oh, but the patrons want something.
Right.
So I will push through and record until almost 9 o'clock at night, even though I've been working since 8 this morning.
Right.
And I have to work again at 8.
And again, it's not explicitly the Tribulation Farce Patreon, but it is, but it isn't, but it is.
It's us.
It's us.
And we make Patreon.
Well, our assumption is you're listening to us because you like us, so you want our other stuff. And it's the easiest way to support the show. Again, thank you guys so much. We said it last week, but it's an odd pitch for a show. We as a creator network and things like that, we don't like doing short things.
No.
Because it's so much more fun to lean into it and to have so much fun. Like, I think about Naruto Revuto. The idea of pitching someone a 2-hour Naruto podcast every week feels hard. But again, it's so much fun for people that like it. And we're not going to change because this is what we like to do.
I want to do deep dive. That's what I like
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. Yeah, I want to dig into stuff. It means so much for you guys to listen and to tell your friends about it. Really, you guys are the best. It's so cool that you do it. You don't have to tell other people, but when you do, it is so rad. But tell your buddies about Tribulation Farce and how funny and good it is and how it keeps you from getting the new fungal COVID.
That's a thing.
I really thought it was real.
You made me very stressed.
I combined two different things.
It sounded really bad. I'm like, I don't want that.
I felt like we would get sued if I said it stopped you from getting COVID.
Oh, but if you say it keeps you from getting something that's fake, then you're legally in the clear.
That's how I worked for two separate law firms. Anyways, like a thief in the night, we'll see you next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.